Welcome to episode number 492 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. Show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. Keep the five-star reviews coming there. We appreciate that. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. On Twitter. A lot to get to as usual. We did not have nearly as much madness this weekend in the NFL. Only a few games came down to the wire, which is rare. Lots of questions, however, surrounding the Falcons and the Broncos. The Super Bowl rematch was a dud. And maybe it's a good thing that the fog rolled into Foxborough so we did not get a clear look at Atlanta's offense. That was painful. Ezekiel Elliott had a huge day. Dallas ran all over San Francisco. Carson Palmer is out for a while. Jay Cutler was injured too. And Miami's playing this Thursday at Baltimore. Quick turnaround for the Dolphins. The Browns almost won a game. Yes, it's true. Almost. But no cigar. I'll get into all of the big storylines in the NFL coming up. How impressive were the Penn State Nittany Lions Saturday night in front of 110,000 screaming fans in Happy Valley? 42-13 over Coach Harbaugh's Wolverines, who got bounced from the AP Top 25. Number 2 Penn State goes to Ohio State this week. That is a huge matchup, not just for the Big Ten, but the national title picture. Oklahoma State got by Texas in overtime. Notre Dame thumped USC, and I've tried to tell people that the Trojans are not a great team. I've seen it over and over and over again this year, but wow, losing by 35. And Alabama rolled as usual, 45-7 over Tennessee. Same old for the Tide. I'll also have a little World Series preview coming up. My pick may surprise you, and I'll tell you what they're thinking out in the desert. All of that here on episode 492 of the Sports Report podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in each and every week. 30 to 40 minutes, fast pace, high energy sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. And whatever you hear, you can chime in on Twitter at the Sports RPT. You know that I'm a big picture type of guy. I'm not a prisoner of the moment. I'm not part of the hot take society. The let me say something completely outlandish today just to get noticed and then hope everybody forgets by tomorrow. No. Not my style. Never has been. I try to bring some perspective. Now, every now and then, you do get a Roberts rant. But in general, I try to take a step back, look at the big picture. Which brings me to the AFC. There has been so much noise about how terrible the Patriots' defense is. What's wrong with the Steelers? Does Big Ben even want to play? Does he want to retire? What's Antonio Brown throwing a temper tantrum for? Le'Veon Bell wants more carries. On and on and on. Now, take a deep breath and look at the standings. Pittsburgh, New England, Kansas City, all 5-2. Tied for the best record in the AFC. Sometimes you just need to chill out and keep things in perspective. The cream usually rises to the top in professional sports. And if you counted out Brady and Belichick and Gronk and the Patriots, well, sorry. If that's the case, I don't think I can help you because that would be utterly ridiculous given the track record of that group. Same for the Steelers. Just too much talent on these teams to fail. Too much talent not to make a run and get back on track. So I try to be the voice of reason amidst all the chaos that's created by other media bobbleheads and other writers out there throwing out clickbait. The AFC looks fairly normal to me. The NFC, that's a different story. NFC is up for grabs. And let's start with the defending champs, the Falcons. Boy, did they lay an egg in prime time on Sunday. This did not come close to living up to all the hype. The Patriots shut down Matt Ryan and company 23-7. Every year, it seems like the Super Bowl runner-up goes into a slump. It happens all the time. I can't explain it. These are usually pretty good teams, or else you don't get to a Super Bowl, right? But it happens every year. And now it's happening to Atlanta. Remember, this team blew a 17-0 lead at home to the Dolphins and then was getting shut out until the final 5 minutes against a New England defense that had been atrocious through six games. And what in the world was Dan Quinn doing going for it on 4th and 6 at midfield with 2 minutes left in the first half? He just gave Tom Brady a short field. Patriots said, thank you very much, coach. Here's a touchdown. I mean, instead of trailing 10-0 at the half, you punt the stinking ball there. Now you're down 17-0 on the road. With the way your offense has been playing, it's game over. Bus drivers reaching for the keys. Good grief. I've always said, and I tweeted this last night, at the Sports RPT, kids, pay attention to this. There is a difference between being aggressive and being dumb. Big difference there. At 10-0, you are in the game. There's no need to panic. There's no need to turn this into John Madden football. It's not a video game. You don't go for it 4th and 6. And I ripped into Doug Peterson of the Eagles when he did this earlier this season against the Giants at midfield on a 4th and 7, 4th and 8. And if the Giants' offense was better, they would have scored. It could have been a brand new game. It is not Tecmo Bowl, all right? You're not playing with Barry Sanders or Randall Cunningham scrambling around back there or Bo Jackson. Punt the stinking ball. I mean, that was a huge turnaround. Patriots go down, score right before the half. Now it's 17-0, and the game essentially is over. And then how about the play calling by the Falcons near the goal line? And end the round on 4th down? What? Falcons have issues. Their defense also gave up 400 yards. And usually the reliable Matt Bryant, who's on both of my fantasy football teams, he missed a short field goal and then had another one blocked. Tough, tough night all around for Atlanta. Falcons are 3-3. They were 11-5 a season ago. Now to the Broncos offense. That is a complete nightmare as well. When they fell behind the Chargers 14-0, it was over. To me, 14-0 felt like 28-0 or even 35-0 with the way Denver has been playing offense. The Broncos can't do squat on the offensive side. It's like watching paint dry. The Broncos were shut out for the first time since 1992. I was in high school. 21-0 the final, 250 total yards for Denver, 3.6 a carry. How about 3 turnovers? And oh, I'm not done yet. 3 of 14 on 3rd down. That is a mess right there. Trevor Siemian sacked 5 times. He looked so good early on this year. Ugh. Travis Benjamin, man, can this guy fly for the Chargers. Had a 65-yard punt return touchdown. Had a 42-yard touchdown catch just running away from the Denver DBs. And I have to tip my cap to LA. They started 0-4, and I had the shovel out. I was throwing dirt on the Chargers. And they've won 3 in a row. Now, they're in a very, very tough division, but I'll give them credit for not pulling a UPS here. I mean, they have not mailed it in. You know, they have done a nice job, keep battling. Now they've won 3 in a row. Steelers took care of the Bengals 29-14. Pittsburgh's defense dominated the second half. Andy Dalton was running for his life. He looked like Simeon out there. And I'm not sure why Cincinnati only ran the ball 14 times. I don't get that a little bit. The rushing numbers, 152-71 in favor of the black and gold. Total yards, 420-180. Le'Veon Bell had 134 yards on 35 carries. So he can't say anything anymore about not getting enough touches. 35 carries. And by the way, I loved the hide and seek touchdown routine. I love that bit, that celebration with Juju Smith-Schuster after they had the second quarter touchdown catch. I mean, that was original. That was funny. It was family friendly. That was good stuff from those two guys. Pittsburgh up two games on Baltimore. Cincinnati drops to 2-4. The Ravens fell to 3-4. This is another club with offensive problems. I mean, you watch some of these teams on offense, I have to get out the rusty nail and just start jabbing myself right in the pupil. Joe Flacco threw for under 200 yards. The Ravens' only touchdown came on the final play of the game, a 13-yard pass to Chris Moore on 4th-and-11. Why do I bring that up? Because that score ruined the under. Not that I'm bitter, by the way. No, not at all. The over-under was 39, and that score put the total at 40. Talk about a bad beat. 4th-and-11, final play in the game, and Joe Flacco throws a touchdown pass. Ugh, that's a punch to the gut right there. This Vikings defense is legit. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they can stop teams better than the Ravens. I still don't trust the Baltimore offense, though. Minnesota settled for 6 field goals. Usually that'll get you beat, not against Baltimore. But with Case Keenum at quarterback, their formula is very, very simple. Run the football, run it some more, and play defense. Maybe your defense can get a turnover or two and set you up. Latavius Murray had a nice game, 113 yards in his score. He averaged 6.3 a pop. Vikings 5-2, one game up on the Packers. Green Bay lost at home to New Orleans, 26-17. The Pack led by 1 early in the fourth quarter, could not hold on. Brett Hundley, just 12 of 25, 87 yards. Huh. And the dagger, a late interception when he overthrew his wide receiver by 5 yards, and that iced the game. Drew Brees overcame a couple early interceptions, threw for 330 yards and a touchdown. Mark Ingram ran it well, 105 yards and a score. They have a nice thing going there with Ingram and Kamara. Saints outgained Green Bay by 225 yards. Do you think the Packers miss Aaron Rodgers? Think they miss him just a little bit at Lambeau Field? Saints are on top of the South now at 4-2. I'm still not sold on them, but they are 4-2. Carolina is a half game back at 4-3 after a wacky 17-3 loss at Chicago. Rookie defensive back Eddie Jackson became the first player in NFL history with multiple defensive touchdowns of 75 yards or more. He took an early fumble 75 yards to the house. Then he raced 76 yards with a Cam Newton interception in the second quarter. Get this. The Bears had 5 first downs. Not in the first half or through three quarters. The Bears had 5 first downs in the entire game and won by 2 touchdowns. It was 17-3. They had 150 total yards. Mitchell Trubisky, the rookie out of Carolina, completed a whopping 4 passes the entire game. 4 passes. Unbelievable. And they won by 14. Can't make this stuff up. It's all about the turnovers, though. I harp on it every single week, whether we're talking college football, the NFL. Turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. Chicago now 3-4. A turnover was critical in the Bills' 30-27 win over the Bucs. Wide receiver Adam Humphries got stripped. Buffalo recovered, and that set up the game-winning 30-yard field goal. Overall, the Buffalo defense did not live up to expectations, but they did come up with that huge turnover. Steven Hauschka made the field goal with 14 seconds to play. Bills were up 17-6. They looked in control of this game, especially at home with that defense. And then the Bucs came back, and Tampa Bay was up 27-20. Buffalo answered in the end. Jameis Winston threw for 384 yards, three touchdowns, two of them to his tight end O.J. Howard out of Alabama. This guy's going to be a stud. But wasn't enough to prevent Tampa Bay from dropping to 2-4. What a disappointment there. There's some talent there. And don't look now, but Buffalo is 4-2. That's the same record as the Dolphins. Miami pulled a rabbit out of its hat versus the Jets. New York was up 28-14 in the fourth quarter. And then Matt Moore went to work. Why? Jay Cutler was injured. Chest injury. Looked like he came down on his shoulder. But they say it was a chest injury. Reportedly could have a cracked rib. Moore comes in, throws two touchdowns in the final 12 minutes of the game. Josh McCown, who had played so well early on, made a pivotal mistake in the last minute at his own 15-yard line. They should have just played for overtime. He tries to throw a pass across the field, gets picked off by Bobby McCain, and then that led to a game-winning 39-yard field goal by Cody Parkey with 22 seconds remaining. Another wild comeback for the Dolphins. Remember, they were down 17-0 in Atlanta and won a week ago. Cardinals also lost their quarterback. Carson Palmer broke his left arm in a 33-0 debacle in London versus the Rams. Palmer expected to miss 8 weeks, which means it is the Drew Stanton show. Stanton went 5-14 with an interception versus LA. Listen to the total yards here, 425-193. This was a behind the woodshed special across the pond. At 5-2, the Rams are a half game in front of Seattle out west. Seahawks came across the country, beat the Giants 24-7, another extremely lopsided game, and this is what I anticipated from New York's offense last week at Denver. Big Blues defense kept them in it this time. Russell Wilson fired two touchdown passes in the fourth quarter, including a bizarre 38-yarder to Paul Richardson, who had simultaneous possession of the football with Landon Collins. They're both wrestling for it. It stood after a review. And that's the correct call. It will go to the offense. Just like in baseball, they say a tie goes to a runner. Well, if you have a simultaneous catch, then that goes to the offensive team. And that was all the offense that Seattle needed. Seahawks still can't run the rock. 3.4 carry. The offensive line struggles to protect Russell Wilson. It is not a great Seattle team, but here they are. You know, right in the mix of things out west. Dallas looked good in San Francisco. The 49ers have played a lot of close games. Not this time. 40-10 Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott ran for 147 yards, two touchdowns. He also took a short pass and went 72 yards for a score. A Dallas kicker, this was unusual. Dallas's kicker, Dan Bailey, got hurt. So enter Jeff Heath. He is a defensive back. He was out there kicking. And his first kickoff was pretty darn good. Extra points, he was 2 out of 3. But it was weird to see a defensive back doing kicking out there. Dez Bryant tied Bob Hayes' franchise record with his 71st touchdown catch. Jason Witten had a sweet one-handed touchdown grab. Dallas 3-3. Jacksonville destroyed Indianapolis 27-0. Blake Bortles threw for a season-high 330 yards and a touchdown, and the Jags defense, which I've talked about here on the show, they piled up 10 more sacks, 10 of them. They did that earlier this year against Houston. The Colts were blanked for the first time since 2003. They are 2-5. Jacksonville and Tennessee tied for first in the South at 4-3. The Titans needed overtime to get by lowly Cleveland 12-9. This game likely set the sport of football back 40 years. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe only 20 years. Ryan Succop made 4 field goals, including the clincher from 47 yards with 2 minutes to go in overtime. He is a really, really good kicker. I don't know that he gets enough credit. That was after the winless Browns forced overtime with a late 54-yard field goal by Zane Gonzalez. Cleveland now 1-22 under Hugh Jackson. 12 penalties against the Browns on Sunday. Unfortunately, 10-time Pro Bowl tackle Joe Thomas was injured in the third quarter, injured his triceps. He had played 10,363 consecutive snaps. This is his 11th season. The guy had never missed a snap for over a decade. In a sport as brutal and as physical as football, that is incredible. He's one of the best in the business at what he does. And, DeShone Kizer benched again. 2 more interceptions for Kizer, so he took a seat. What a train wreck at the quarterback position in Cleveland for so many years. This is episode 492 of the Sports Report. Here's the question of the day. Can the Packers, Falcons, and Broncos bounce back? Those are the three teams I want you to focus on today. Do you think the Packers, minus Aaron Rodgers, Falcons, and Broncos can come back? I mean, these were three highly rated teams going into the season. Obviously, the Falcons had got to the Super Bowl last year. The Packers, a lot of people were picking the Packers to get to the Super Bowl this year. And the Broncos, with that defense, they're always in contention. You have Von Miller and company there. So can those three come back? Let me know what you're thinking on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT on Twitter. Marching on episode 492. 30 to 40 minutes each Monday here on The Grizz. That is grizzlyproductions.tv. Make sure that at the end, .tv. Or just listen on iTunes. You can listen for free there. Go back and listen to previous shows as well. And if you have just a second, it's all it takes. We really, really like to see those 5-star reviews. Helps to promote the show. All right, let's get to college football. You often hear me say, let the line lead the way, right? Well, there's a reason that I say that. Vegas usually knows what the heck it's doing. Number 2 Penn State opened as a 10-point favorite over Michigan. And I'm sure there were some people saying, Michigan, with that defense, is a 10-point underdog? That's way too many points. Way too many. I got to jump on the Wolverines here. And the line did come down. Public was on Michigan. The Nittany Lions finished with 500 yards versus that defense, which came into the game number 1 in the nation in yards allowed. They were giving up about 225. They allowed 500 on Saturday night. Saquon Barkley, 3 more touchdowns. How about the direct snap to him early in the game? Then they ran the option with him. He is your Heisman frontrunner. No two ways about that. There is no doubt that Barkley is your Heisman favorite right now. Trace McSorley, the scrappy quarterback, ran for 3 scores, threw for another. The guy that deserves to be mentioned a lot is Joe Moorhead. He is the mastermind behind this Penn State offense and a terrific hire by James Franklin. Joe Moorhead was a head coach at Fordham. Most people never heard of this guy, and now this Penn State offense is putting up 40 points all the time. 42-13 was the end result against Michigan. And good luck dealing with a whiteout crowd at Beaver Stadium in State College. I mean, these night games at Penn State, it's like a rock and roll concert. It's like AC/DC. It's like Kiss. I mean, it's unbelievable. Now, Penn State must go on the road to face Ohio State. And the Buckeyes are coming off a bye week. They're home, and they are playing with revenge. And that is why they are a 7-point favorite. I'm in Pennsylvania, and I know a lot of people, when they heard about the line on Sunday, they were stunned. How can Penn State, undefeated, defending Big Ten champs, got to the Rose Bowl last season, brought all these star players back, how can they be a touchdown underdog? This is why. It's a very similar scenario to just what happened with Penn State and Michigan. This time, Ohio State is playing with revenge. Ohio State is at home. Okay, big difference here. Ohio State, not happy how that game ended last year. You know, some fluky things happened in that block kicked, returned for a touchdown. So I'm just reminding you, let the line lead the way. I think this is a tough spot for Penn State this Saturday in Columbus. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you think there's no stopping the Nittany Lions right now. Now, a lot of people where I live that are guzzling the blue and white Kool-Aid feel that way. You can disagree. Always appreciate that. We do it in a civil manner on Twitter. Nothing's accomplished by people just yelling at each other. I like to pass that on to the folks covering politics. When you just scream and yell, nobody hears anything. Well, let me know what you're thinking on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT. Speaking of blowouts, look at what Notre Dame did to USC. 49-14. Josh Adams gashed the Trojans 190 yards on 19 carries. 3 touchdowns for Adams. Brandon Wimbush threw for 120, ran for 100. He had 4 combined touchdowns. Trojans had 3 costly turnovers. Irish 6-1, and the one was a loss by a point to Georgia on a field goal with 3.5 minutes to play, and that was back on September 9th. Now, Notre Dame has a tricky road ahead. NC State this Saturday, and that is a very good defensive line for NC State. If you believe that games are won and lost up front, a lot of coaches do, I think Notre Dame could have some issues blocking the pack. And then at Miami, November 11th, Miami held off the Cuse 27-19. I guess it was too much for me to ask for my alma mater to beat Clemson and then go down to Miami and win. But it was a closer game than I thought. Miami's 6-0. And then after Notre Dame plays the U, they'll be home against Navy with that, you know, option offense. It can be tricky. And then they have to go to Stanford. So I do not see the Irish running that table. But they're in the mix right now with only the one loss, and certainly a quality loss to Georgia. Oklahoma avoided a second loss with a 42-35 victory over K-State in Manhattan. Rodney Anderson broke off a game-winning 22-yard touchdown run with only 7 seconds to play. Baker Mayfield passed for 410 yards. He scored 4 total touchdowns. Sooners trailed this one by 14 in the second quarter. Okie State snuck past Texas 13-10 in overtime at Austin. The Cowboys averaged 49 points per game. They only scored 13. So believe it or not, they had to rely on their defense. I mean, is this allowed 13-10 as a final score in the Big 12? I mean, that's going to give people hives or the flu bug or something like that. Scurvy. Who knows when you see a score like that coming from the Big 12. Oklahoma State also avoids loss number 2. Very important. Their next 4 games, at West Virginia, home against Oklahoma, at Iowa State, you can't take the Cyclones lightly, and then home against K-State. So there's not one gimme game there for the Cowboys when you look at that 4-game stretch. At West Virginia, home against the Sooners, at Iowa State, and home against K-State. You know from listening to the show that I have ripped Texas for years because the national media bobbleheads always expect the Longhorns to return to greatness, and I'm just there to remind you, no, they're not close to it. So I've been pretty harsh on Texas. But I want to be fair, and they have played now USC, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State right down to the wire. Haven't won those games, but they have been right there with a chance to win. So there is some improvement if you're a Texas fan. I wanted to be sure that I took just a second to point that out because I know that I have hammered Texas for a while. And mainly it's because of what the media does. You know, always thinking that this team's going to bounce back and be this big surprise team. They are what they are, and they're just not that good. Their defense usually is atrocious, played really well against Okie State. I mean, never in a million years I would have thought they'd hold them to 13 points. I would have thought that would have been, what, the first 7 minutes of the first quarter. So, you know, they've been in tight games now with USC, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State. Now, the next step is winning those games, but still signs of improvement in Austin. This is episode 492 of the Sports Report, getting closer to the Big 500. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv, and the show is in the podcast section of iTunes. All right, let's get to the World Series here. Game one coming up Tuesday night out in LA, and what a pitching matchup. A couple of former Cy Young winners here, a couple lefties, Clayton Kershaw, who was really good in his last outing for the Dodgers, and then Dallas Keuchel, who has been excellent as well. Game one Tuesday, game two is Wednesday. You'll have Hill and Verlander, and how good has Justin Verlander been? Man, oh man, did he shut down my Yankees. That was a bummer over the weekend. All that momentum up 3-2, and then go to Houston, and the bats were silent. Simply could not hit. Lost on Friday 7-1. Verlander with 7 shutout innings in that one, 8 strikeouts, only 1 walk. And then on Saturday night, losing 4-0. The combination of Morton and McCullers, that sounds like a law firm right there, Morton and McCullers, held the Yankees to 3 hits. They struck out 11 and only walked 2. So the Astros come back from down 3-2, and they lost that game 5-0. I mean, they had given up 19 runs in the 3 games at Yankee Stadium, and then they come back and allow 1 run over the last 2 games. Pitching wins. Good pitching beats good hitting. So the Astros win that one in 7 games. LA took care of the Cubs in 5 games. How about Kiki Hernandez? 3 home runs, including a grand slam, 7 RBIs in the closeout game that they won at Wrigley, 11-1. So again, Tuesday, Wednesday, first 2 games in LA, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, next 3 in Houston. This is the first time since 1970 that 2 100-win teams will meet in the World Series. Dodgers won 104 games, the most in baseball. The Astros won 101. And how far has that organization come? In 2013, they lost 111 games. They had 3 consecutive 100-loss seasons. And now here they are in the World Series. And credit to Sports Illustrated, they threw them on the cover, and they got it right. I mean, they beat the Yankees in 7 games, had to come back there, but it is amazing the journey of this organization. I mean, from a doormat, an afterthought, a non-contender, cellar dweller, to now in the World Series. As for the Dodgers, mentioned 104 wins, did struggle down the stretch. Remember, they lost 11 games in a row in September, but here in the playoffs, they are 7-1. First appearance in the series since 1988. You all remember that one. It was Dodgers and the A's. Oakland was a big, big favorite in that series and lost it in 5 games. Oral Hershiser was outstanding. That was the Kirk Gibson home run where he's limping around the bases there. That was back in 88. So it's been a while for the Dodgers. Now, they are the favorite out in Vegas. They opened at minus 140, and that went up to minus 160 or minus 170. So on a $100 bet, you'd be risking 160 or 170. So Dodgers the favorite. I actually like the Astros here. I think there's value. You know, I talk about value a lot with horse racing. I like to play the ponies, especially in the Triple Crown races, the Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont. I'm looking for value. I think there's value in this Houston Club, especially if they're right around 140, maybe 150, and that may go up because everybody seems to like LA right now with the way they've been playing, how quickly they dispatch to the Cubs. You know, this lineup, they didn't always show it in the Yankees series, but you got Altuve, one of the best players in the game. You got Correa. I mean, what an infield that is. Springer, to me, has to be the key. He's got to set the table. He did not hit well at all in the Yankees series, the ALCS. He needs to do better there, but it's a lineup with power as well. I think there's value in Houston. Now, the Dodgers, you look at the top of the lineup there, it's tough. I mean, Taylor has been brilliant. Turner is so clutch, a money player. Bellinger, and then you have Puig, who always keeps things entertaining. It's a lineup that gives you quality at bats. They don't chase pitches. They work deep counts. They make the pitcher work. Now, they have some veteran lefty hitters who have really struggled, but Taylor, Turner, Bellinger, that's quite a trio right there. I'm actually going to take the Astros in this series. I'll say it goes seven, and I'll take Houston to win the World Series in a bit of an upset special here on the Sports Report. I know everybody's on the Dodgers bandwagon right now. I just don't know after the first three or four in the lineup that, you know, there are a lot of great hitters in there. And you have Keuchel and you have Verlander. Those are two really good pitchers that the Astros can throw out there. And look at the curveballs that Morton and McCullers were throwing in the closeout game against the Yankees. I mean, they looked really, really good. So I'll go Houston here. The bullpen scares me big time, and that's the one advantage the Dodgers clearly have. Their bullpen has been lights out. They are definitely better than the Astros' bullpen. Astros' pen has relievers who did really well in the regular season but are unproven in the postseason. They don't have that track record, and you know the Yankees were able to get to them at Yankee Stadium. But I'll take a flyer here on the Astros, getting a little value. Your prediction, welcome on Twitter at TheSportsRPT, TheSportsRPT. Who do you like? How many games in the World Series? That'll do it for this week's edition of the Sports Report. Hope you enjoyed the show. Tell your family members, your friends, anybody you know like sports to give us a try. We love the endorsements on iTunes as well in the podcast section there. If you can take a second and give us a 5-star review. And almost all the reviews are 5 stars, so I'm pretty proud of that. Again, follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Have a great week, everybody. This has been episode number 492. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv.